Okay, so knowledge distillation. We have said those two words on this show probably a dozen times, and every single time we go, we should really do a proper episode on that. Episode 920, and we're finally doing it.
Yeah, no more punting. It keeps coming up because it's genuinely load-bearing for a lot of the stuff we cover. And I think we owe it a real explanation instead of just gesturing at it every time a paper uses it.
So let's start with the actual problem it's solving, because that's the part that makes the whole thing feel obvious once you see it. You've trained a huge model. It's brilliant. It's also enormous and slow and expensive to run. You can't put it on a phone. You can't run it in real time. It costs a fortune per query.
And the naive fix, just make a smaller model and train it on the same data, doesn't really work. The small model doesn't have the capacity to figure out all the patterns the big one figured out. It's starting from scratch. So the question is, can you somehow transfer what the big model learned into the small one? And the answer is yes, but the how is the interesting part. Here's the analogy I keep coming back to.
Okay, I'm with you.
You could just hand the junior person a textbook. That's training from raw data. Or you could have the senior sit next to them, explain their reasoning out loud. Say, this looks like case A, but watch out for this one detail that makes it actually case B. That running commentary is knowledge distillation. The junior learns the expert's judgment, not just the right answers.
That's the frame I want people to hold on to. The big model is the senior expert. The small model is the new hire. And the whole trick is in what exactly gets passed between them, because it's not just the final answer.
Exactly. So, what does the big model actually produce that the small model is learning from? When a model classifies something, say, is this image a cat, a dog, or a bird, it doesn't just spit out cat, it produces a probability for every possible answer. Maybe 95% cat, 4% dog, 1% bird. Those are called soft targets or soft outputs.
As opposed to hard labels, which are just cat, done.
Right. A hard label throws away all that nuance, but the soft target tells you something the hard label doesn't. The teacher almost said dog. That 4% is information. It says this image has some dog-like quality to it, even though it's a cat. A student learning from that is learning the teacher's sense of similarity and ambiguity, not just the final call.
That's the thing that clicked for me when I first got this. The near misses are the lesson. The teacher's hesitation is data.
Yeah, and there's one more ingredient, temperature scaling. The teacher's outputs get run through a temperature parameter before being handed to the student. Higher temperature flattens the distribution, makes the probabilities more spread out, more informative. Lower temperature sharpens it, so it looks more like a hard label. If the teacher is 99.9% sure, there's almost nothing in the other answers. The student just sees cat again.
Okay, so mechanically, what actually happens during training?
You have your big teacher model already trained. You run it on a data set and collect those soft outputs for every example. Then you train the student model, smaller, fewer parameters, to produce outputs that match the teacher's soft distributions. The loss function penalizes the student whenever its distribution diverges from the teacher's.
Let's make this real with some actual systems. DeepSeek R1 is probably the most striking recent example. The distilled versions of that model hit 94.5 on Math 500, which is wild because that's a distilled model outperforming models that were trained directly on the same task.
Yeah, and there's cross-modal distillation too, the weird one where a vision model teaches a text model or vice versa. The idea is that sometimes a model trained on one type of data has learned representations that are useful for a different type. Video Chat 3 was an example in that space. Video understanding, trying to get a smaller model to handle multimodal reasoning efficiently by leaning on a stronger teacher.
Okay, so now I want to push on the limits. Where does it break?
Capacity gap is the big one. The student has to be large enough to actually absorb what the teacher is teaching. If you try to distill a massive frontier model into something tiny, the student just doesn't have the parameters to represent what it's being shown. You get some improvement over training from scratch, but you're leaving a lot on the table. Edge cases are another one. The teacher is good at edge cases because it has a ton of capacity devoted to them.
Which matters a lot if you're in healthcare or autonomous vehicles. The weird cases are exactly the ones you care most about.
Exactly. And then there's the upfront cost. You have to run the teacher on your entire training data set to generate those soft targets. If the teacher is a huge model and the data set is large, that's expensive. The economics only make sense if the student gets deployed a lot. One time expensive teacher run, then you serve the cheap student forever. The math works out well for production systems, less obvious for research or one-off use cases.
Also, fine-tuning is adjacent here, and I want to make sure people don't conflate them. Fine-tuning takes a pre-trained model and trains it further on new data to adapt its behavior. Distillation is specifically about transferring one model's knowledge into a different, usually smaller model. Different goals, different mechanism. And they can be combined, but they're not the same thing. And I've seen people use them interchangeably in the wild.
Which is wrong.
Gently wrong.
Sure, gently. And to answer where this stands right now, still completely live. This is not a historical technique. It's the standard approach for getting capable models onto edge devices, phones, real-time inference systems, anywhere you need speed and low power without tanking accuracy. The DeepSeek R1 story is recent. Dart SD is recent. Seed is recent. It's actively being used and actively being pushed further.
And from a product standpoint, this is the thing that makes a lot of on-device AI actually possible. Every time someone tells you there's a capable model running on your phone, distillation is usually somewhere in the story. Quantization handles the precision side, making the numbers smaller. Distillation handles the knowledge side, making the model smarter than its size suggests. They're often used together.
Which is a real reason teams reach for it beyond just the compute savings. The energy angle too. A smaller model running in production uses less power. At scale, that's not nothing.
Okay, let me try to land this. The one thing I want someone to walk away with, if you forget everything else, is this. The student isn't learning from raw data. It's learning from the teacher's judgment. The soft targets carry the teacher's sense of what's similar, what's ambiguous, where the close calls are. That's what makes the student smarter than its size.
The near misses are the lesson. You said that earlier, and I think that's actually the best one-line version of this. The teacher's hesitation is the signal. Hard labels throw that away. Soft targets keep it.
Cody, I cannot believe it took us 920 episodes to finally sit down and just explain this one properly. Next time we punt on a concept, someone remind us of this moment.